Welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Greetings.
Greetings. Welcome to Warn Radio and Gospel News with the Watchman, Dana Smith, and me. I'm Tower. And we have a great lineup for you today, so I'm glad you joined us. Today is January 30th, 2019. And here are some important news updates from the WIBR Warn Radio. The recent posts from the Watchman. Breaking forth of the light. Breaking forth in the midst of darkness, there lay the truth, immutable. The coming of the Lord draws nigh. The kingdoms of men fall further into their own ways. The two shall clash. Unmistakably, the truth shall reveal the folly. Also, choosing life and blessing instead of judgment. As Christians, we are not to love the world, nor are we to gratify the lust of the flesh, indulge our eyes in lustful ways. We're allowing ourselves to be puffed up by the pride of this life. So you can go to warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com to read the latest posts and articles by the Watchman. You can listen to Warn Radio worldwide from your PC, Android, Apple device, and many other avenues. Check out the front page on warn-usa.com for our Spreaker embed and links to all the places to listen to, from iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Blueberry, and many others. You can listen to all the shows from the front page of warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. And you can listen or watch all the shows from the warn-usa.com blog, the warn-usa.com blog, also from Spreaker or the Spreaker app. You can follow Warn Radio on Instagram and Facebook, also on Twitter, LinkedIn, Tumblr, and others. And tonight's show, we feature our advocacy, faith, and the gospel news. Tonight, our top stories are Top Pakistan Court Upholds Acquittal, Frees Captive Christian Asiya Bibi. China's Shameful Abuse of Uyghur. 20 killed in Philippines in ISIS bombing attack. God restores and redeems. It's miraculous. And also freed, former Christian governor in prison for blasphemy. And the scripture reading for this week is found in Exodus chapter 21, verses 1 through chapter 24, verse 18. Jeremiah chapter 34, verses 8 through 22. Also chapter 33, verses 25 and 26. The New Testament portion is Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 42. Also, Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through chapter 2, verse 28. And now I welcome in the Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, great.
Well, we are here on another Wednesday night, and we are 30th, as you said. Going to be the end of the month.
Oh, I know. 2 days.
Well, we're glad to have January out, but time does go fast.
It's getting warmer. That's the good news.
Yeah. Well, we got February to go through. That's kind of difficult.
Yes, it is.
So, well, at any rate,
I want to say something.
Go ahead.
Well, I like this quote by actor-author David A.R. White. He's the creator of Pure Flix. And he said, "I would rather stand with God and be judged by the world than stand with the world and be judged by God." That is very profound, I think. We all need to be, to consider that.
Yeah, that's a good one. And we have quite a few different people that come on our Instagram page, and he's one of them on a regular basis. And up front tonight in our news and announcements, our short news, we're discussing Jay Sekulow and the ACLJ. And 11 people will be killed today just for their faith in Christ. These are chilling facts.
That's true.
A new study named the 50 most dangerous countries for Christians as the number of Christians facing persecution rose by tens of millions in the last year.
That's astronomical. It's unbelievable.
And we have, we've talked about that, about all the persecution that's increasing.
Yeah.
And another one, we're working, this is the ACLJ, to free Christian Pastor John Chow, a U.S. permanent resident being held in a Chinese prison for serving the impoverished in China. Now, we covered him when they put him in there. He was merely doing beneficial work, helping the poor. And China is currently listed at 27, but they're going to rise a lot because they have been imprisoning and closing churches right and left. And this is a problem we have, and many others who cover this stuff, is that American companies shouldn't get in bed with such a whore as China.
Exactly.
Period. We need to stop doing business with China because of what she's doing. The ACLJ is demanding action to protect Christians facing genocide in Syria and in Iraq. And in Nigeria, Christians have been massacred by jihadists and children abducted. We've been covering all of these. In Nigeria, it is the Fulani and Boko Haram. And they're also fighting for Christian for Leah Sherbu to be released by Boko Haram. We've covered her quite a bit, and she is one that you need to pray for. She refused to become a Muslim. All the other Muslim teens were released, but she, because she would not recant her faith, is still being held by them. And you know, this is one of those things. She is a tough nut, and they don't dare release her because they know it'll be, you know, you can't release somebody like that. They don't want to release her.
Boy, she'd be dangerous, huh? Might see a lot of people converted.
Yeah, yeah. In Iran, they're demanding the release of Pastor Yousef Nadarkhani. And we've talked about him. Almost all these we have. And the one thing that when we talk about finding ministries and things that help the persecuted church, and you might not think the American Center for Law and Justice is a ministry, but it is, because they do everything by support, and they do a lot of work to get Christians and others released, Christians released from oppression overseas. And they deal with the UN and anywhere, anything else they have to do in order to get things done. And at the same time, they also take on like Planned Parenthood and others, and they file briefs against the government and all kinds of things to investigate and get free, get the information released that needs to be released, a lot of things. So we urge you to check out the ACLJ at aclj.org. Of course, and when I tell you that, we're not connected with the ACLJ at all. Not at all. We don't get a penny for it, nothing. I'm just telling you that these people do a good service, a good ministry. And in another one, Pakistan has been added to the U.S. blacklist. Now, of course, we've been covering this for a long time, you know, Tower, and we see so many of these things happening in Pakistan.
Well, I know. You hear about them all the time. That's why I thought they should be further up the list on the 50 countries that are named. And I thought they are in the top 10, but I always thought they were like number one for the worst violations. But I think they're number five, which was kind of surprising.
Well, number one, of course, is North Korea.
Right. They've been that for 19 years now.
Yeah, yeah.
That's quite something to be proud of, isn't it?
Well, they don't care.
I know, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, Pakistan also had voted to release Asia Bibi. We're going to talk about that. But they also have worked on releasing some others. So we see hope with Pakistan. And the justices and the government there are really earnestly trying to make sure that the Christians are not railroaded. At least some of them are. So we see positive things with Pakistan, and we would like to see this thing.
Yeah, and there's some leaders that don't like what they're doing because they say it makes Islam look bad, the way they act and riot and want to kill people all the time.
And, of course, the top news that you and I were real excited about was Asia Bibi.
Oh, man, that's really exciting.
And, she was acquitted before, but she wasn't allowed to leave the country. She wasn't allowed to even get out of prison. They kept her in protective custody. It went before another Pakistani higher court, the highest one in the country, and they agreed that she needs to be released. She's free to leave the country, and she can join her daughters. And is her husband with her daughters?
I don't know, but her daughters have been granted immunity. Is that what they call that? Asylum in Canada.
Well, at any rate, we were really glad she's free to leave Pakistan and join her daughters in Canada after more than 8 years of prison and detention. Highest court, has upheld the acquittal of Bibi. And, of course, she was falsely accused for insulting Islam, and they tried to get her on these charges. We covered all this in times past. If you want to find out more about it, go over to warn-usa.com and Asia Bibi. Do put Asia Bibi in the search on our website. We have a lot of it going all the way back. And this has been a long process. It says it started in 2009. You and I started, we were covering this. And I just can't believe the timing. We're at 2019, and I think, man, have we been doing it that long for just her? We've been in this end time ministry over 21 years now, and it's just hard to believe.
I know. Here's what a friend told the Associated Press anonymously, fearing for his own safety, that Asia Bibi is overjoyed, and he quoted her, "I am really grateful to everybody. Now, after 9 years, it is confirmed that I am free, and I will be going to hug my daughters." That's exciting.
Oh,
praise
the
Lord.
That brings a lump in my throat.
Me too.
Tears to my eyes.
I'm overjoyed. Thank God.
And my heart is warm. Now, make no mistake, folks. There are a lot of others. We have been for years. We have these cases that come out like Asia Bibi's. We have covered prisoners that were in North Korea, especially the young boy that was killed. We have covered to try to get people released, Christians released from Iran, and finally were. We are again talking about the Nardakhani and others in Iran who are in prison right now and need released. We're talking about the Christians, Wang Yi and a lot of others who just recently are in a Chinese prison, and there's prison camps and the whole nine yards. And so we've been covering for years and years, various individuals that come out in the news, but don't forget the many that are persecuted and you never hear about.
There's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them. And I mean, you know, and I always pray this, and this, the Lord prompted me through the Spirit many, many years ago. And that one was to pray for those that are in some dark, dank corner somewhere that's forgotten, persecuted. They're cold and freezing and starving and darkness and, you know, just the worst conditions. Pray for them. And
unimaginable.
Yeah, because people are forgotten. And we want them to know that we're praying. And I even mentioned, Lord, let them know that someone's praying for them.
Oh, I do too. Let them know they're not forgotten.
Because in testimony that has come back through the years, we know that people that are in prison like that, there's supernatural things that occur. You know, they can even hear sermons being preached as if coming from nowhere, but they are coming from the Lord. We've had a number of testimonies, and so don't forget, the Lord is in the miraculous, okay? He's not man, he is God, he's sovereign, and he's there. And so don't forget it. At least, you know, today we look at a sea of BB and we thank God. There's a lot of others. And Wilberforce is the next one that we're going to cover about. And they are, Wilberforce was a guy that pushed for freedom for those who were oppressed. And there is 21 Wilberforce, which is a nonprofit. Mainly housed in the UK, but they do have, I believe, an American address. They're talking about the China's shameful abuse of the Uyghur, I'm not sure how you say it, population. Now, the Uyghurs are pretty much a Muslim group. You might say, well, you're Christian, you're covering Muslims. Well, see, this is also the fact that they are doing the same thing to Christians. So when it comes to China, they do not care whether you're Muslim, whether you're Christian, whether you're anything else. And so this is what we, you know, they were talking about the camps. You know, they said these re-education centers. Now, see, they put both Christian and Muslim and others in these things. Are part of an ongoing campaign to combat what China describes as wide-scale, internationally linked threats of terrorism. But they other first-hand reports out of these camps talk of torture, beatings, food deprivation, lack of medical treatment, denial of religious, cultural, and linguistic freedom, and harassment and intimidation of U.S. citizens and lawful permanent residents. And of course, there was a call for by Senator Mark Rubio and others against the fact that the United States must hold the Chinese government and Communist Party officials responsible for their gross human rights violation and possible crimes against humanity. But that's, you know, as well as I do, Tower, they're not going to hold China responsible. Not at all. You know, we're even trying to find a way to be economically friendly with them.
I wouldn't want to be. I don't like it.
So Tower and I, for years, because we've known of China, even when everybody was kind of embracing China, I remember what my dad told me, and he says, red China is not a friend. It's red China. And there's a lot of those who fought in World War II know very well what China is.
Yes.
And they remember Mao and the others. We know very well. And for years and years, we didn't even know if there was any churches left, any Christians left. But they went underground, and they were silent. And then, of course, during the freedom and the openness, they began to come out and had more and more freedoms. And then, of course, it became known that there was more Christians in China than communists. So the communists actually cracked down, and this is what we see now. Now, years ago, Tower and I stopped having much to do with China, but Chinese products. And we tell people, anytime you're buying anything, try not to buy China-made products if you can help it. And especially Christian, during Christmas, they like to buy the colored lights. Do not buy the Chinese colored lights. There's a reason for this. Now, a long time ago, Tower, do you remember the guy who first came out with that story?
Yeah, I don't know if he was a pastor, or I know he was a Christian, and he'd been imprisoned for his faith. And he was put in to making these Christmas lights to sell to America and other parts of the world. And they had to reach a quota daily, and if they didn't, they beat their hands. And it was hard. His hands were so mangled, it was hard for him to even make Christmas lights. That's why I can't bring myself to buy those kind of things from China, because I remember him. I will never forget him and what he said.
Now, we do have some lights, but they're not from China. And, if we hear of any other abuses like that, that's different. But, we try, in as much as possible, not to buy China's products. Number one, we want to buy American products. Number two, of course, if you're buying a car, you cannot, I forgot who it was. He was the head of one of these major dealers. I think it might have been the Ford dude that's head of Ford. Well, at any rate, he came out and said there's no such thing as an American-made car.
Not anymore.
No. And it might even been someone else, but it was somebody that was producing cars. And he got in the news, and that's what he was talking about. And we know that for a long time that the parts and a lot of the other stuff, just like even your computers, these things are all made in foreign countries, most of them. And there are stuff made in, a lot of stuff in the computer is made in Israel. There's stuff made, of course, in Silicon Valley and other places, but they do get in a lot of stuff from overseas.
Yeah, I found something the other night that was made in Israel.
Yeah, you did. And, of course, we do like to buy Israel, and we do like to buy American. And the thing of it is, I hardly ever see anything made in the UK.
Yeah, I can't recall that I've ever seen anything from there.
Now, we buy stuff, for instance, in Australia. We bought something not too long ago that was made in Australia. But, it's funny that when you look at Europe and you look at the UK, you don't find them. So, at any rate, remember China and remember those who are being persecuted there. And remember, God is moving in a mighty way among the Muslims worldwide and other groups. And we get reports in all the time, so do others. And we read others' reports. And so I'm telling you, God is moving. So don't count the Lord out. I mean, have faith and believe. Not only for the others overseas, but for yourself and your family. Because there may come a time that you will need a miracle, and you have to have faith and believe. Because you want to make sure that you're able to do that. So remember, praise the Lord for Sia Bibi's release, and also pray for the Christians, of course, Wang Yi and the others that are held in China right now. These Muslims that are being held, they need to be released too. They also need the Lord. Pray for their salvation. And of course, we do have another story. Tower's going to be taking that one. Are you about ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
Okay, go ahead.
This is about another Christian in Pakistan that's been acquitted of blasphemy charges. And he was accused of blasphemy. One He was acquitted of a blasphemy 1 month after two Christians were sentenced to death in an online blasphemy case. But in the Qusar district, the judge, Ahmed Bozal, dropped charges against Pervez Mashil, 38, on January 15th, after prosecutors failed to submit any evidence against him. His attorney said that he'd been in prison for 3 years since September 2015, and they had failed to bring even one witness against him during the three-year trial. That is just outrageous, I think. But, the acquittal is good news for him and his family. They've suffered a lot in the last 3 years. And even though he is free from the charge, he has serious concerns for his security because he's been declared a blasphemer by the local Muslims. And his life will always be at risk.
That's unfortunate. That's terrible.
Yes. And these two brothers that have been charged with blasphemy, it came about because I'm not sure how to say his name, Quasar, insisted that he had closed his website in 2009, but that a Muslim friend somehow had been able to take the website back online while keeping it in Quasar's name, and I believe that. I believe that what he's saying is the truth. And he's filed an appeal against the court's verdict, and that's his lawyer. His lawyer said they filed the appeal. We hope that the high court will judge the case on merit because we believe that the trial judge has convicted the brothers without considering their circumstances. And Quasar is married and has three children, so this is a real tragedy that this kind of stuff is going on. And they had fled Pakistan in 2010 after a quarrel with some Muslim friends. And when they returned 4 years later, they were really arrested and charged with blasphemy.
Well, you know, we've talked about that blasphemy charge, and Iran is real bad about it. There's been people that were killed in Iran for blasphemy simply because they had a Facebook page and they kept it, but they didn't write on it. They had others that submitted stuff, which is usual for Facebook. And someone else submitted something and they held him, the person responsible for that, and that was a person that was hung in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see this all the time overseas, and it's really, you know, coming down. One of these days you have a website, in the future, when they really start cracking down even more worldwide. They're going to be able to hang anybody if they don't like the news. I mean, it's going to have to follow exactly what they say or else. And unfortunately, that's not why the internet was made. And I've been on it in a time when it's been free and open, and they're trying to control it. But it's one of those things, Tower, that is just absolutely disgusting what these countries, and the thing you wonder is, how can they look themselves in the mirror?
Oh, I know. How can you treat another person so horrible?
Yeah. But they do, you know.
The things they do would never even cross my mind.
Yep. Yep. So Christian acquittal, that's good. So we have Sia Bibi and this other Christian, both in Pakistan. And that's why we see some good signs in Pakistan. But of course, the big problem you have is the difference between the high Pakistani court and the government itself, both of those two entities, and the local governments, which usually aren't swinging in the same direction as the main government and the justices. And so it's ruled by a lot of imams and others that have jealousies and rage and just evil things going on, and they can provoke these crowds and nothing flat. And in Pakistan, we've covered many, many people that got killed at a moment's notice because the imams incited them to riot. So that's the way it is. I mean, horrible. You know. Yep, that's too bad.
And these people, unfortunately, are uneducated.
Yeah.
And so they believe whatever their imam tells them.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's true. You know, and of course, as we move around the globe, we're over in the Philippines. And of course, the last time we had a major story out of the Philippines was, I think, a year or two ago. When Muslim extremists attacked a particular city and took it over for a while. It was actually in the southern part of the Philippines, and there's a lot of Muslims down there, regular Muslim Sharia. And of course, this one, they're looking for a particular group of Islamists who bombed a cathedral, and it killed 20 and injured 100, and it was on a Sunday. Matter of fact, the 27th of January, it went off inside the cathedral just as everybody was gathering for a service. And then a second blast went on outside. And so, you know, you have a chaos at the scene. You have worshipers fleeing, you have security forces arriving, and you have dead and dying all over the place. It was a, you know, the problem with this, there's no place to go, Tara.
Mm-mm.
Tower, you know, no place to go. You know, even in a big church. Now, they got some big churches, but if you get a big enough bomb, you're going to bring down the ceiling.
Oh, I know.
But they have to be, excuse me, well built. And it's just amazing for me, you know, that these people will get there and they have no way to tell, because the enemy comes in. And he's got the bombs hid. Nobody can tell that he has anything. You know, it just, you know, where is the security? But we've seen this time and time again, really, around the world, that these people, if they want to do evil, they can do it. And actually, the whole thing was over the thing. They wanted to have an autonomous region in the southern Philippines where they would have Sharia. And, of course, a referendum, the voters rejected the inclusion of this, you know, this thing on the ballot for allowing it to become a Sharia law. And nobody claimed responsibility. Now, Abu Sayyaf is the one that's pretty much active down in that area.
Well, that's kind of surprising. Nobody claims responsibility. They always want to be famous for those kind of things.
Well, they do, but the big thing that you have is the leader of the Philippines. I mean, he's been known to be absolutely bloody. And a spokesman for Duterte, who's the president, the enemies of the state have boldly challenged the capability of the government to secure the safety of the citizenry in that region. The armed forces of the Philippines will rise to the challenge and crush these godless criminals. And of course, you know, there's a lot of Catholics in the Philippines, but there's also a whole section of them that are Muslim. So it's hard to say where everything. Then there's just criminal elements.
Yeah.
Now, see, in 2018, they tried to include a basic law of Sharia law in order to find a political solution between Muslim jihadist groups and Christians in the country, but so far they've never been able to get that. Well, there's only one solution. I mean, the Muslims don't want a solution. They want to conquer.
Yes, they do.
Now, if they can't conquer because they're outnumbered, then they want to at least be able to keep Islamic law. Because in the Muslim world, when you're in Sharia law, theirs is a 100-year war. They're willing to go back and just do what they're doing and bide their time until the time comes for them to make war. But many of them all over the globe feel this is the time, and we see it all over the place. And you get rid of one group and you have another group. I mean, they never do reach a point where they're sick of blood. I've never seen that. I've never seen or heard of a Muslim who said he was sick of blood. And sick of killing. No, even the good ones. I have not read an article. I have not heard from a Muslim anywhere that said, you know, I'm a Muslim and I am sick of this.
That's
now, it doesn't mean they're not out there. It just means I haven't heard it. You know, but in the news that we cover, you know, it's always 98% of the time. It's either going to be China. It's going to be some other secular country, oppressing Christians and others for their religious faith, or it's going to be most of the time, 95 to 98% of the time, it's going to be Muslims attacking Christians, period. And if you go through the majority of the Middle East, of everybody that we've talked about, and you can go down to the Philippines, you know, all over the place you can find it's Muslims. Now, the only place that you don't, you hear much out of, and that's South America. But you do hear stuff. You don't hear much stuff out of Russia. You don't hear much stuff going on out of China. You don't hear much stuff coming out of Europe itself. But the biggest and the worst regions are in the Middle East. It's around the Mediterranean. It's down into Africa. Things like that, and a number of the islands. So it's a mess. Now, of course, they want global jihad. So can you imagine what it'd be like if they got global jihad?
What a nightmare.
Oh, it would be. So at any rate, we've got another story here, and Tower's going to be doing that one.
This is an amazing story. It's miraculous. It's about God, restoration and redemption. And that's what he does every day. Our God is a God of restoration and redemption. He's a giver of life, and he's amazing. Thank God. Bless the Lord. But anyway, this comes to us from Bibles for the Mideast. It's about Muslim extremists attacking an Assembly of Loving God church in the Mideast, in a Central African country. And Yacoubi was an extremist. He was one of the most involved in the radicalism. And he was one that tried to kill Pastor Mustafa. They went into the church with swords and managed to demolish the church as believers gathered on the third day of a 21-day period of prayer and fasting. And at one point, Yacoubi attempted to kill the pastor Mustafa, with his sword. And as the original story relates, and I don't remember reading this one, a huge warrior angel appeared, pulling the pastor to safety. And when the church roof had been destroyed and a massive thunderstorm began to roar, a mysterious heavenly storm cloud kept the Christians dry and safe, yet pelted painful rain and hailstones on the attackers. And this Yacoubi, he was extreme and a fanatic religious leader of the local mosque. He participated in all the practices and activities. Yet neither he nor other locals, who were all Muslims, could deny the supernatural intervention on that day. And while Yacoubi remained full of questions, many in the neighborhood were softening in their attitudes towards Pastor Mustafa and the assembly. And that church is made up of all former Muslims. So some of the women from the neighboring houses had begun joining for the prayer service over the next 2 days. and the imam and other religious religious leaders became incensed with the new developments. And during their Friday day of assembly at the mosque, the imam even devoted his sermon to strictly warning his people not to believe the Christians nor attend their prayer meeting. He explained how during the time of the prophet Moses in Egypt, many black magicians had also performed miracles before King Pharaoh. But Moses destroyed all those miracles with a far greater miracle given by the power of God Almighty. So don't believe and follow the black magic done by Christian followers. He told them to be on the alert. And Yerkabi stood up immediately among the worshippers to ask a question. And you got to remember that it's strictly against Sharia law to talk or ask questions during the sermon. And before each Friday sermon, an elder of the mosque reads stern warnings on the subject from the Hadith, which are the words of Muhammad. And Yerkabi could not, however, hold himself back. Why then, Imam, can't you do miracles as Prophet Moses did and destroy their black magic? If you can't, don't talk about them. Oh, this made the imam so angry. He ordered him out of the mosque, and several other leaders, especially those they were out of sorts with Yerkabi. They rushed at him and pushed him out, dragged him into the street, and they were beating him up mercilessly until he fell into an open drainage ditch, and they left him there under the hot midday sun. He was so seriously injured and with broken bones, he couldn't even lift himself up. And when the people left the mosque, they only laughed at him lying there. None of them offered to help him. And when everyone had passed, he noticed a cloud descending and then overshadowing him. He recognized it as the same cloud that he'd seen 2 days earlier over the church protecting the Christians. He then saw a bright and mighty man in the cloud sitting on a throne. That man showed his hands to Yerkabi, and they were nail-scarred. He could also see blood-stained marks on his legs and on the side of his chest. Blood-colored rays streamed down from the marks and shone upon Yerkabi, and he understood it could be none other than Christ Jesus. "I was brutally beaten, wounded, crucified, and died on the cross of Calvary," Jesus said. "After death, they pierced my side with a spear, but I rose from the dead, and you are healed by my wounds. You are purified by my blood. You have salvation by my death, and you have eternal life by my resurrection. Now I give you a new heart and new life. Be faithful." Yerkabi, now utterly healed, knelt down before Jesus and said, "I believe in you, Lord Jesus. You alone are my Lord and my Savior." And within seconds, the cloud vanished. And he went home rejoicing and convincing his family about the truth of Jesus Christ. He met with friends and shared his experience of salvation with them all. Some of those who had been involved in the attack on the church decided to put their faith in Jesus as well. And early on the Saturday morning, the former attackers gathered together and collected new roofing materials and began rebuilding the church roof. They asked forgiveness of the pastors and believers and promised to rebuild the rest of the church soon. And then they joined in the prayer service. About 200 people attended Saturday's gathering, and Pastor Mustafa explained the gospel to them more fully. He then asked those who had not yet accepted the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior to do so with their own hearts and mouths. All knelt down and declared the Lord Jesus Christ to be their own personal Savior and Lord. And of course, the local imam exploded in anger with the new developments. Locals, however, fear saying anything against Jesus or Christians and warn their youngsters not to do that either. And the furious imam promises to call in militants from other mosques to fight against the Christian scourge?
Well, you know, that story is brought to you by Bibles for the Mideast. You can go to Bibles4Mideast.com. That's Bibles and the number 4, Mideast.com. Now, this ministry is made up of former Muslims who've gotten saved. It's extensive. They have a lot of different assemblies, a lot of Muslims and miracles. And the one thing that they ask is Bibles. That's all they ask the money for. So if you want to donate to them, you go to BiblesForTheMideast.com and look for their donation. There's a place on there. I don't know exactly, you know, if it's really easy to find, but look around the websites, find their contact page, find something, and you can contact them. They'll let you know. But they do have a way that you can give. You know, we have a number of these ministries all over the place. I mean, I have a big list of ministries that work with, you know, with stories and things with the persecuted church. But one of the biggest things they're suffering now is the biggest needs we have. Number one, in Bibles for the Mideast, they collect Bibles because the Muslims always want Bibles, they say, over food and anything else. They want Bibles. The other thing of it is that in Syria and Iraq, a lot of the Christians have no blankets, no food, and the winter's been really tough for them. There's a lot of them also that are up in Turkey, and they don't have any clothing or blankets, not doing very well. There is a number of ministries like Samaritan Purse, Persecution.com, International Christian Concern, all who work with Christians who are in these avenues of trouble. So remember them.
Isn't persecution.org and not .com? Persecution.org?
I don't know. They can find it. It's International Christian Concern.
Okay.
And then, of course, another one in Indonesia. We were covering this when it happened. The Christian governor was actually in prison for blasphemy. I think
I remember that story.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if he was elected or not, but during his unsuccessful re-election campaign in 2016. Yeah, it was 2016 we were covering this. And he said people were wrong if they believed a specific verse in the Quran forbids Muslims from voting for non-Muslims. So because he said that, well, they put him in prison for
that's ridiculous.
Blasphemy. Well, at least he didn't get
murdered.
Killed.
Yeah.
You know, he was later convicted. He spent 2 years in prison, and they were bragging that we want to turn Indonesia into a true Muslim nation, and we succeeded with AHOC. And this was the words of a radical Islamist who helped lead rallies. Matter of fact, he even got in the New York Times. If that ain't a crock, the New York Times quoting this jerk.
Oh, I know. But I'm glad he got free.
Yeah. And AHOC, that's the governor, said he doesn't regret his imprisonment. He said if we could go back in time and someone asked which would you choose, going to prison or winning the election, I would say I choose to be in prison at Mako to study for 2 years so that I could maintain self-discipline for the rest of my life. He wrote that in an Instagram post a few days before his release. If I were reelected, I would have become more arrogant, rough, and it would have hurt people. And when he was released, he wanted to pray at his father's grave and to travel abroad to avoid Indonesian politics.
I don't blame him.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing of it is that's what happens when you get a voice. You know, the Muslims want to silence you. And, of course, you got to be so careful. You know.
You do.
You know, you just, you can find yourself in trouble. Now, let me see what this one is. This is ChristianAid.org. They're the ones that are warning about the Syrian refugees in Turkey. And native missionaries are praying for help. They say cold weather has settled in, and this is a very bad situation for refugees. It's difficult. Living conditions have become much more difficult. The leader of a native ministry in southern Turkey said refugees are physically weaker now, and we can see them, see just from looking at them. Cancer is colonizing an increasing number of refugees due to the harsh conditions. In one unofficial camp with 200 families, at least 25 people have cancer.
Oh, that's horrible.
Babies cannot grow normal as they do not have proper nutrition. Children are playing in the dumps and getting many kinds of disease from this. A lot of trauma, malnourished. And in the winter season, there's not much work here like there was in the spring and summer. And so they can't get the food for the families. They don't have wood for fires to warm their tents. They don't have blankets. Many of them don't have enough blankets.
Oh, my goodness.
So they're begging for help. And so this ministry is ChristianAid.org. And they are looking for help, this ministry, to help get this over to the Syrian refugees. But I know that Samaritan's Purse takes care of a lot of Syrian Christian refugees as well, and there's a number of others. So just make sure you're getting in touch with these and try to give something to help your brethren in Christ, because if you were starving, you would want someone to help you and your family.
Yes, amen.
Now, in one of our final stories, the BarnabasFund.org, they are talking about a review on the global persecution of Christians. That's what the UK is wanting to do, their government. But the big problem that Barnabas Fund has is that they say the UK can and must do more for the many Christians facing persecution and discrimination worldwide. And, of course, the big problem with the UK government is repeatedly failing to give sanctuary in Britain to a fair portion of Christians, and warning that policy appears to discriminate in favor of Muslims risks embarrassing the government. And, of course, we saw this with Obama. Absolutely.
Yes.
And we also know that they turned down a Sia Abibi's request for asylum, the UK did, Theresa May. They were talking about it. So there is no
That's
doubt.
That's like blood on your hands when you do something like that, I think.
Well, you know, the proper way is to apply for asylum, come in the right way, not open up the gates and have floods
exactly.
of people that come up here and storm your borders to get free stuff. Like they're doing in America. This is an absolute crock, what's going on. And, of course, a lot of the Democrats are partners in crime. And, you know, no matter what you say about it, it's a mess. So, kudos to, what they're doing there.
Yes.
And here's a paper, here's an article from the UK. UK fails to give safe haven to Christians. According to figures obtained under the Freedom of Information laws by Barnabas Fund, so they made the news there. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of these ministries that will make these reports out and publish them. And
yeah, that article says of the 4,850 Syrians accepted by the Home Office in 2017, 4,772 were from the dominant Sunni Muslim community in Syria. Only 11 were Christians.
Yeah, that sounds like Obama. He did the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's absolutely ridiculous that this goes on. And then another one is from the Christian Post. Now, Steve Campbell, he and his family, he himself is being investigated by the Brazilian government's Indigenous Affairs. He may be charged with genocide because he came in contact with one of the remote tribes.
Oh, no.
They've been trying to protect these remote tribes forever. And if you remember, not too long ago, a missionary actually got killed and made the news.
Yeah.
When he came in contact. Well, the problem that they're worried about is that just like, when the whites in America
came in contact with the native Indian tribes here, smallpox and other diseases wiped a lot of them out. So they were afraid that the Indians themselves would be wiped out by just becoming in contact with a white man. But of course, this has to do with the gospel. And of course, he made contact with him. He was led to the area by his GPS. He entered the area by mistake while teaching Indians from the neighboring Jamandati tribe to use the device. And apparently he got turned around and he wound up there.
That's awful.
Of course, they said that even if direct contact has not occurred, the probability of transmission of disease to the isolated is high. And that's true. I mean, you don't even have to come close. You can just come within shouting distance. So he's facing that. And, of course, there's, you know, make no mistake. You know, God has called us to reach the unreachable. And this is not out of the line of a call of duty. It doesn't matter what Brazil says. But in the same token, you know, if you're going to go to a tribe, you better have miracles and signs and wonders to follow you. So if they get sick, you can lay your hands on them and get healed, and they can get healed. There is a miracle working God.
Amen.
And many times when we follow the apostles and they went with the gospel, they were able to bring miracles and signs and wonders with them. This is very important. Today, just going out without that ability is really not good at all. And is not scriptural at all. So at any rate, that's the news, the gospel news for today. We covered a lot of stuff. And when we get done, you know, as we've told you before, there's two kinds of news. There's the bad news and there's the good news. The bad news is there's a lot of Christian news programs that will just tell you how many Christians and others are getting killed. But the good news is that in the midst of the martyrdom of Christians, the enemies of Christ are coming to Christ. We report that. And the words that we tell you about the enemies coming to Christ, that was actually a quote that came from an Egyptian Coptic, I think he's a Coptic priest. But we also see from the Mideast and various organizations working there, we see the enemies of Christ coming to the Lord. So when you sit in America or in the West and you think that we're all a bunch of pagans and nobody is doing anything for Christ and God is asleep and there's no miracles, you're wrong. God is on the throne. Christ is working with the church with miracles and signs and wonders. And people are getting saved today. Even as America falls and slides into lukewarm mediocrity, there are people on fire, full of miracles, and see the power of God around the world.
Amen.
And we are of those that believe absolutely. We open the door to tomorrow with faith that our God is able to do to the uttermost to save those who need it and to give miracles and signs and wonders to protect his people. In Jesus' name, this is true. Father, thank you for this day. Bless your people as they hear it. Encourage them and help them to help those who need help, Father. Okay, Tower.
Okay, remember to pray for your brothers and sisters around the world. And we thank you for all you do for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We love you and we pray for you. Thank you for joining us and helping your brothers and sisters around the world. God bless you. And be sure to join us tomorrow night for Thursday's Battle Lines.
Shalom, everybody. Good night. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.